The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and may not necessarily be the views or opinions of this station, its management, sponsors, or staff. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Unbelievable. We got some stuff we got to update you on. On this, we got Donald Trump yesterday, all this Russian stuff happening, and the nerves are raw. You know, it kind of reminds me of what Mikey Michelson said, who's definitely a right-wing guy. I mean, he's on the far right, but he's on the show because he's a smart guy on the far right. I've had people on the far left and far right who aren't smart, but he is smart, so although he drives opponents nuts, which is what you want in a guest. But he talks about how people hate each other now. They hate each other in the Assembly, Senate, Democrats, Republicans. They hate each other like never, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they would hang out and go to bars and have beers. Not so much anymore. It's become hyper-partisan. And it's driven, in many cases, by grassroots. I mean, talk radio, I think, played a role. People want purity. They want absolutism. It's like I told you when I was going to get legislation on the parking on the square after 5, when the legislators are out of session, people call it, oh, Mitch, why are you doing all the time? We should have the parking spaces every day. Forget about the, you know, people want more. People want purity. And so this idea that there are two sides to every question, the answer is somewhere in between, is gone. There's absolutism, and that causes pushback on both sides. And here is a case. Reporter April Ryan at a news conference with Sean Spicer, and April Ryan tries to ask Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, about all these things like the Russian investigation, how do you deal with the perception of being under a cloud of scandal, and listen to this exchange.
You got Russian, you got wiretap, and you got...
No, we don't have that. You I don't
know. On Capitol Hill...
No, I get it, but you keep... I've said it from the day that I got here until whatever, that there is no connection. You've got Russia. If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection. But every single person... No, I appreciate your agenda here, but the reality is, at some point, report the facts. The facts are that every single person who has been briefed on this subject has come away with the same conclusion, Republican, Democrat, so I'm sorry that disgusts you. You're shaking your head. I appreciate it, but understand this, that at some point, the facts are what they are, and every single person who has been briefed on this situation with respect to the situation with Russia, Republican, Democrat, Obama appointee, career, have all come to the same conclusion. At some point, April, you're going to have to take no for an answer with respect to whether or not there was collusion.
How do you change the perception
We're going to keep doing everything we're doing to make sure that what the president told the American people he was going to do to fulfill those pledges and promises that he made to bring back jobs, to grow the economy, to keep our nation safe. That's what he's been focused on since day one. We're going to keep focusing on that every single day.
Comes Friday. Condi Rice did not support this president. She did not go to the convention. She comes. What is on the agenda? And how is their relationship? Has it healed since 2006 when he used a very negative word to describe
it? Here's what I'll tell you. It's interesting that you ask those two questions back to back. On the one hand, you're saying, what are we doing to improve our image? And then here he is once again meeting somebody that hasn't been a big supporter of his. Hold on. April, hold on. It seems like you're hell-bent on trying to make sure that whatever image you want to tell about this White House stays, because at the end of the day, let me answer. But you know what? You're asking me a question, and I'm going to answer it, which is the president, I'm sorry, please stop shaking your head again.
Please, what's getting all the excitement today on social media and on the cable shows in the morning is the fact that he said, please stop shaking your head. I mean, you know, people do that. They shake their head. I remember on the golf course at the Orlando nightclub, when about, 70 people were killed, or what, a gay club, and the person was doing it in the name of ISIS. The guy said that. And some guy, of course, I said, well, he's, you know, doing it for religious reasons, or he's doing it for ISIS, and he's shaking his head. No. It was just a nut. You know? People don't want there to be any kind of attachment to a radical strain of, a warped strain of Islam, because that isn't the narrative they want. They just want the fact that he's a nut, or that there was no any kind of political / religious component. Unless, of course, if he were a right-wing white guy, then the same person at the golf course would say, hey, see, it's a right-wing white guy. You know, like Timothy McVeigh. I mean, there's always this hope. Anytime there's an attack among white progressives that the assailant is a right-wing white guy, because they go, it's a right-wing. Well, it turns out to be, you know, Muhammad X doing it and shouting Allah Akbar. Then there's always, well, I mean, he's just an extremist, you know, it's an isolated group. And I understand now. Remember when the president made the comment, I think it was after one of the attacks. Oh, yeah, it was after the Islamic State had, like, gone through Iraq like a hot knife through butter in the summer of 2014 or whatever, and just kind of moved into position, taking over towns and cities that had been taken during the war by us, essentially. And the president said, the Islamic State is not Islamic. You know, well, they think they are. I mean, they're not renegade Presbyterians. They're not Quakers gone amok. But so there's this innate desire on the part of good lefties to separate any strain or any teensy-weensy thought of religion from those groups that cloak themselves in their interpretation of religion. But when a right-wing white guy shoots an abortion doctor or abortionist and quotes the Bible, then see, he's a right-wing Christian. You know, so, you know, it's kind of a double standard there, I would say, which is kind of what drove me into this contrarian position in the first place, because there's so much BS out there, which was kind of the column I wrote this Sunday about how people are divided, but they're guided by their own ideology. They want their team to win, and it doesn't matter what the facts might be that contradict something. The cause is getting the ideology side to win in the end. All the stuff in between doesn't matter, and that's where we are in the country. Whether we're talking about ISIS or Christians or social issues, or it's all, you know what, we have to win in the end. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters except that. It's where we are. Now, where we are also politically, we saw with healthcare, is that we don't have a king. We don't have a monarchy. We can't just snap our fingers and pass laws. We have a coalition-driven republic. So you have to build coalitions and get the votes through trade-offs. There were massive trade-offs to get Obamacare passed, and there have to be trade-offs to get anything passed. Otherwise, nothing gets passed. It's not like the coach at South Carolina, Frank Martin, run the lines now, or you're off the, you know, nobody can do that in politics. Because the other side can say, screw you. I have enough votes to kill this bill. So kiss my, you know what, come back with, we have Trump coming, we have Trey Gowdy defending Devin Nunes and the Intelligence Committee. All the good stuff here on the Roundup continues on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Most realtors just came in and talked with you and then put an ad in the paper. Tim came in and said, here's what we're going to do. You had a plan, and it was spectacular. It really worked well, and I couldn't have been happier.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rail to anyone who had a house for sale in the Dane County area.
Tim Rail, 698-7653. We'd like to remind you that every day right here, 11 to noon, right after the Mitch Hank Show, we present Wide World of Radio. I'm your host, Bob Abella, and I pay tribute to the stars of radio's golden age. Today we observe the ironies of life with The Shadow and The Whistler. With his ability to cloud men's minds, the Shadow exposes an evil hypnotist. In another exciting adventure, the Whistler's mournful tune ends on a sudden note of surprise. Don't miss Wide World of Radio right after the Mitch Hank Show, today, 11 to noon.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, aren't we having fun? The other little ongoing saga, the investigations into alleged Trump team ties with Russia and Russians, business people, oligarchs, all this stuff. They've been investigating since July, according to Director Comey of the FBI. No smoking gun yet on this. But you have the director of the Intelligence Committee in the House, Devin Nunes of California, goes to the White House to view information allegedly from an intelligence official, not necessarily a White House official, but he was allowed to view the information on a White House computer, a secured White House computer, obviously guided there by a White House employee, presumably at the request of the intelligence official releasing information, where they showed apparently non-Russian related. This is why Nunez says he went to the president, tell him about it, because he said the intelligence data was non-Russian related, that it had nothing to do with Russia. So it allegedly then had something to do with private citizens in Team Trump or on Team Trump who were surveilled and unmasked. You're not supposed to unmask private citizens if you're intercepting or monitoring the conversations of diplomats or foreigners, Russians, whatever. And there were diplomats and Russian bankers all over Trump Tower. As we now know, Jared Kushner met with a state-owned Russian bank president. Jared's offered to speak to the Intelligence Committee, which he's going to do an open session. But anyway, so all those conversations, and it wasn't just Jared, but they probably, but somebody unmasked, which would be a felony, private citizens in gathering the info. So, of course, Nunez hears this. Oh, boy, I better report to the president. Now, all the Democrats on the committee, Walter Williams, non-committee member, Republican, one Republican from North Carolina, says Nunez should step down. He should have shared the information with the committee first and maintained his independence from the White House. Well, Nunez says no, he went to the White House because it had nothing to do with the Russian investigation. We're supposed to be investigating the Russians. But Trey Gowdy, who headed the Benghazi Select Committee, former prosecutor from South Carolina, weighed in on whether Nunez should step down, Trey Gowdy.
Devin hasn't told us it came from the White House. I don't think the source matters, Martha, nearly as much as whether or not the underlying information is authentic and credible. Keep in mind, Devin has also said this has nothing to do with Russia. And for those who missed it the first time he said it again, nothing to do with Russia. So if we've gotten to the point where the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee cannot go gather information related to our surveillance programs and cannot update the commander-in-chief on the nature of that information, we're in a really strange place. I realize that Democrats don't like the fact that President Trump won, but he did. And Devin is the chairperson of the Intelligence Committee. He has an obligation to update the commander-in-chief on information like this.
So that tells me that Trey Gowdy and other conservatives are, you know, their backs are up and they're at war with the media. They're at war with Democrats who want Nunez gone. Nunez said, why would I be gone? Why wouldn't I, you know, I'm briefing you people in the press. Well, the Democrats say you can't lead. Well, screw them. I mean, that's what we have now. Now, we have the one Republican, Walter Williams, but so far just one. Not the economist, Walter Williams, but a white Republican from North Carolina, Walter Williams. And you have criticism from the media. But it's really about our backs are up. I think Nunez still wants the closed-door session with Comey, right? Because Comey, before the committee, said, no, we didn't wiretap. Well, nobody wiretaps anymore. You don't use wires. So wiretaps in quotes, Team Trump would argue, and actually Jonathan Turley, who's a constitutional lawyer and left of center, backed up Team Trump on that wiretapping phrase. He said, nobody wiretaps. You know, he said, no, it means surveillance. But you have reporters. Well, you said he wiretapped. You lied. Well, then when you make an accusation like that, at some point, you have to back it up. But Gowdy's position, others, well, we don't know yet. Stay tuned. Could have more leaks, more whistleblowers, more data. Well, then you have to prove that Obama ordered it, and it wasn't just some legal or legitimate act of surveillance of foreigners that might have been a Trump Tower, because that can be legal. And it wouldn't be done legally by the president would not order that, because that would be a felony. It wouldn't be his jurisdiction at that level. So my aunts and my sister and everybody else out there who despises Trump from the beginning, they're demanding an apology from Trump. He smeared President Obama. He's accused him of a felony. Well, Sean Spicer was asked a few days ago, is he going to apologize? He said, no. So you have Nunez and Gowdy and others saying, well, there's more information. We're still investigating. Could be more unmasking. More surveillance evidence. How do you know it came from everybody said it came from the White House. Well, we don't know. That's kind of where we are. But again, it falls on partisan lines. I will say this. The president's approval rating and couple of polls I saw this week, down about 36%. He's down about 10 points in polls, although Rasmussen had him higher, high 40s or 50. There were reporters who were saying that they had received reports that President Trump, during the healthcare debate, kept saying, is this a good bill? Is this really a good bill? Is this really a good, you know? I mean, Donald Trump's not going to read, you know, every word of the bill. He was just assured it was a good bill, and he puts his name into it, tries to talk to the members, and he loses. He doesn't like to lose. So he's probably thinking, well, screw you. I want to talk to the Democrats now. I mean, he's loyal till he's not. Ask Paul Manafort. Ask Corey Lewandowski. I'm very loyal until you're not, right? Trump did reverse, President Trump, I should say, sorry, folks, the anti-coal, environmental policies, restrictions on coal policies of the Obama administration with a stroke of a pen, with a massive reversal in environmental regulations as he stood next to Secretary of Energy Rick Perry and his EPA administrator and also Vice President Pence and did a little news conference in the White House. And here is Trump talking about that yesterday.
The action I'm taking today will eliminate federal overreach, restore economic freedom, and allow our companies and our workers to thrive, compete, and succeed on a level playing field for the first time in a long time, fellas. It's been a long time. I'm not just talking about 8 years. We're talking about a lot longer than 8 years. You people know it maybe better than anybody. Thanks as well to the many distinguished members of Congress who have taken the time to be here. I want to thank all of our industry leaders who are with us and who share our determination to create jobs in America for Americans. And Shelley, thank you very much also. I spotted you in the audience. Thank you. That is what this is all about, bringing back our jobs, bringing back our dreams, and making America wealthy again. I also want to thank the dedicated public servants who are with us this afternoon. You're doing important work to protect our health and public resources. So important. Finally, I want to acknowledge the truly amazing people behind me on this stage. Our incredible coal miners. We love our coal miners. Thank you, John. Great people. Over the past 2 years, I've spent time with the miners all over America. They told me about the struggles they've endured. I actually, in one case, I went to a group of miners in West Virginia. You remember, Shelley. And I said, how about this? Why don't we get together? We'll go to another place, and you'll get another job. You won't mine anymore. Do you like that idea? They said, no, we don't like that idea. We love to mine. That's what we want to do. I said, if that's what you want to do, that's what you're going to do. And I was very impressed. They love the job. That's what their job is. I fully understand that. I grew up in a real estate family, and until this recent little excursion into the world of politics, I could never understand why anybody would not want to be in the world of real estate. Believe me. So I understand it, and we're with you 100%, and that's what you're going to do, okay? The miners told me about the attacks on their jobs and their livelihoods. They told me about the efforts to shut down their mines, their communities, and their very way of life. I made them this promise. We will put our miners back to work.
All right, there's the president reversing policies of the previous administration on coal and, of course, angering environmentalists. Michael Moore, you can count on him to go on Twitter and say that it's the beginning of the extinction of the human race. I don't think Trump's going to really care about Michael Moore's tweets. What do you think, Dave? apparently he cares about what people say about him on TV, but probably not Michael Moore. We'll come back. Baseball's starting. I just had some nostalgic thoughts about the most memorable experience you have in your life at a sporting event coming up on The Mitch Hanks Show, MadisonTalks.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, course sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
New Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. It can be a dangerous world out there. Vaccine safety rumors brought polio back to Africa. Children in Europe and here in America are once again suffering from measles. Don't let misinformation about vaccines put our children at risk. Protect your family from preventable diseases. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Vaccines save lives. Thank you.
This message is brought to you by Every Child by Two and the American Academy of Pediatrics. For more information, log on to vaccinateyourbaby.org or aap.org.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella. Talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller. The scooter, the barber, and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Ah, spring baseball starting. I don't want to just speak as a guy. I mean, don't women like baseball? You'd play softball. Look at all these wonderful softball teams. women's softball. I mean, it's the same thing to me. Hitting a ball and running around the bases. It goes beyond guys, although guys like to talk about baseball, I understand. But, I mean, you can be a kid. I talked to a prominent businessman last week who buys and sells radio stations as a real job in the West and Midwest, small ones. But his hobby is to just collect baseball cards because he collected baseball cards when he was nine. These grown men, these older men, go to these baseball card trading shows. Oh, the third baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1960. Oh, I've got that card. whatever it is that trips your trigger, there's this need not to, because you don't work all the time. You work 24/7. I mean, you need some downtime. I know some people don't have any downtime. They just work all the time and sleep and get up and work until they sleep. But, that's no fun. I mean, the newspaper, we have the front page. We have the business section. Then we have sports and living in leisure. We can't just live on page one. Well, some people do, but that's why I've always tried to do the show like a newspaper because, comics are part of life and sports part of life. People want downtime. Baseball, to me, signifies innocence, youth, play baseball. As a kid, we played baseball. And that song is great at depicting that kind of wistfulness, wonderment. Remember the movie Field of Dreams? James Earl Jones played the writer from the 60s who was going to write the story about these ghosts that came back and played ball in the field in Iowa, these famous baseball stars that died. And he said, build it, because they're going to sell the farm was going to go under. And the brother-in-law said, got to sell the farm, Ray. And he said, no, we're going to keep it. And then the brother-in-law saw one of the ghosts turn into a doctor, as he was, later in life, and save his niece, who choked on a hot dog or something. And he saw the players, because he couldn't see the ghost before that. He goes, don't sell this field. Don't sell this field. And James, all right, oh, build it and they will come. People will come to watch the Stars play baseball. And I still remember, and Dave, our engineer, Dave McCann, of course, you were at Wrigley Field getting foul balls with no intention of going.
No, home run balls.
home run balls. They weren't, you didn't get foul balls?
No, we were out on Waveland.
On Waveland Avenue, left field.
We were waiting for homers to come up.
A child of Chicago, you were getting home run balls on Waveland Avenue. Now, what was your assignment from your father? Would you get the ball and sell it, or what?
No. He had said we were going to go to a Cubs game that day, and they were divorced, so he had to come by to pick me up. He picked me up, and we went to Wrigley Field, and then we proceeded to head out to Waveland Avenue and sit there and wait for home run balls to come out.
To keep the balls.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and there was nothing to be had that day.
no balls to collect.
No.
But if you got a ball, did you take it home or sell it or what's going on there?
There was no plan. We hadn't. I don't think it was stated what was going to happen if we got one.
I would hope
I would have gotten to keep it.
Now, as an innocent young person, how old were you?
What was I, like 5 or 6?
Oh, 5 or 6. So.
Yeah, I was very young.
So when you first went, do you think your dad was going to take you into the game?
Well, isn't that what you would think? You said we're going to a Cubs game?
I don't mean to laugh, but that is son.
I thought we were going in.
No, son, we're not going in. We're going to go to the outfield, left field, and you're going to try to wait for a home run ball.
It'll come over that wall right there.
when did that realization hit you? At the time you parked the car?
No, as we were walking, because we were going by entrances.
you kept thinking, we're going in. We're going to the game.
Wait, where are we going? Why,
where are we going? Well, son, we're going to go to the... Oh, man. First of all, the psychological impact of that at age 5 or 6 had to be kind of tough.
Yeah, you've seen how I've turned out.
Well, I don't mean to... Well, of course, that was back in the time when they were good, right? With Ernie Banks and Ron Santo and Don Kessinger.
Billy Williams,
yeah.
would have had, I believe, Jose Cardinal at the time.
Oh, that was later. Yeah, that was too. Later. That was later a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like early 70s, you're younger wasn't than it?
I. Yeah, yeah, it was correct. So, maybe 73, actually, at that point.
That sounds about right.
The point of it is, here's my question for you. Men or women, I don't care. What's the most thrilling event that you can recall of you attending a sporting event? The most thrilled you ever were at a sporting event. It doesn't be baseball. Sporting event. 210-1667, 210-1667. As I have the final play of Wisconsin and Florida on the screen, I'll just minimize that, Dave. We'll argue about it later. For me, I went to the World Series. Went to the World Series in 82, Brewers Cardinals, as a student at Butler, Indianapolis. We just liked to scalp tickets and go to big events in those days. Saw Game 5 and Game 6 in separate cities. Game 5 in Milwaukee, Game 6 in St. Louis.
I was at Game 5.
You're at Game 5, yeah. Al Jarreau sang the national anthem. I sat below the Cardinal wives because we were sitting there and I'm working the tickets and avoiding the police.
Actually, ironically, I think we were on the same side of the field.
Oh, I was between the on-deck circle and the plate.
Because Al Jarreau was sitting over in your area too, wasn't he?
Well, he was sort of across from me. I was between the on-deck circle and the plate behind the screen, like five rows back.
Okay, because we were on the third baseline.
I was on the third base side, but
yeah, we were on the third baseline and we were behind. We were probably about 10 rows behind Al Jarreau.
I thought he sang the anthem in front of the first base dugout. Anyway, so here we are. He probably sat there, yeah. So, of course, the ticket, you know, I'm buying and selling tickets. Remember, I shook hands with Senator Proxmire that day. I remember that. Hello, Bill Proxmire. How are you? So, I was out in front of the stadium at the end saying, with a sign, need tickets. And this guy comes running in like a cab. He's like a sports writer. I got tickets. And I swear to you, he sells us these incredible field box, super duper five-star diamond seats for like face value. And we sit there. It's just incredible. We actually were like a row behind Stan Musial, the Cardinal Hall of Famer. That was kind of lucky. That's when you have a long coat. You know who the cops are that are following the scalpers and... We'd buy and sell tickets so we can afford to pay for gas, right, and the tickets. And this one guy's a cop, and he's following me around. I go, nice day for a ball game. He goes, yeah. But I would wait until he walked away, and I'd sell my tickets because I'd been arrested in the past and learned the rules.
I'm selling the pencil, officer.
Yes, yes. By the way, I did learn one thing, and it's true. I hate to give advice to criminals out there, but you can always, always tell a cop. You can spot a cop a mile away. Because after I was arrested the first time, and only time, I never again was arrested. I could always look at someone and know if they were a cop. Always. Always, always, always. You know why? Cops don't smile. Other people are smiling, going to the game, getting hot. Cops don't smile. There's a cop. I was always a cop. I don't mean to tell you that because I don't want to give you advice on scalping tickets. It's kind of hard for me now to do it. I'm 55 and bit of the community. Oh, anyway, the most thrilling sporting event you ever attended or most thrilled you ever were at a sporting event. 210-1667, 210-1667. How about you, Dave? Well, for you, it'd be Final Four, right? The Badgers.
Let's see. Yeah, three of them, actually.
Oh, that's right. You were there in 2000.
Yeah, three also. Final Fours. I don't know how many Sweet 16s.
Well, the point of it is, you know, you'd put that at the top, I'm guessing. Well, how about beating Kentucky in the Final Four?
Yeah, you know, it almost makes me wish, though, that Kentucky game would have been the national title game because I think they spent all the energy they had in that game.
Well, and whatever energy they had left was taken away by the officiating in the final game. But, you know, I'll give you mine when I come back and try to get yours as well. It could be your kid's game. I don't care. Most thrilled you ever were at a sporting event on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Are you a veteran returning from Afghanistan or Iraq and struggling with significant readjustment issues? If you're dealing with the effects of trauma or alcohol or drug abuse, facing marriage difficulties, or wanting to rebuild ties with your children, Peninsula Counseling Center can help and can restore hope to your life. Associate Director Lois Goldsmith.
Our programs have proven to make a significant difference in restoring new meaning and satisfaction in their lives.
Counselors use a remarkable therapy called EMDR that has been demonstrated to be an effective and rapid means for healing post-traumatic stress disorder.
Research indicates that the use of this specialized treatment technique can help those suffering experience significant relief in a relatively short period of time.
Call them at 516-569-6600 to schedule an appointment. If you're not covered by insurance, services will be free.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
First of all, as a kid, going to the ballpark when you're 9 or 8 or whatever, I don't care if it's County Stadium, Milwaukee, or in my case, it's Wrigley Field, Chicago. And, of course, at that point, I'm watching the games on cable on WGN Channel 9. Because my home in Indiana, we had ABC, CBS, NBC, public TV, and then there was Channel 9. I mean, that was it. Every game was on. And so I was just watching them, and the players were my heroes. Oh, my God. Jack Brickhouse was the announcer. And he was like my big hero because he was the guy that would talk to me every day. And we had a local sports writer who said, well, I'll get you up into the – let's go to a game and I'll get you up in the press area and I'll introduce you to Jack. Of course, I'm 8. I'm going, what? So we go up into the catwalk and Kenny Bell, Lafayette Journal-Courier, hello, Jack. I want to introduce my little buddy here, Mitch from – and he goes, oh, hello there, Mitch. Good to see you. I mean, I was like shaking hands with the Pope. I mean, it was just, oh, my God. Because I had my glove on. Because, you know, you take your glove to the ballpark and you're trying to get a foul ball. In Dave's case, I'm sure he had a glove out in Wayland Avenue, right, Dave? And so you're sitting there trying to get, and so I would stand there on this catwalk in the concourse. There was like a stair and a little platform. And these kids would go, Jack, can I have an autograph? So they'd throw the ball to me, and I would hand the ball to Jack. He would sign the autograph for the kid, and I'd throw it back down to the kid. And they'd throw me the ball, and I'd catch it with my glove, and I kept doing this for like 10 minutes. I was the conduit. God, was I thrilled. And then you go out, and you see the green grass first time, and you see the ivy. I mean, it was just breathing the same air. My God, there's Ron Santo. Oh, my God, there's Don Kessinger. Oh, my God, there's Billy Williams. In person, Ernie Banks. And so that was thrilling. But the most thrilled I ever was, and all the things, Final Fours, the Cubs, the U.S. Open, whatever, the most thrilled I ever was. We used to drive like 5 hours to Columbus, Ohio. From my hometown, it's a five-hour drive to Columbus from Lafayette. And go to that golf tournament in Columbus, the Jack Nicklaus tournament, Memorial Tournament. And I would follow Arnold Palmer, because Arnold Palmer was still playing, even though he wasn't. He was kind of over the hill. He hadn't won in 6 years. But I followed him anyway. In the first round, of course, in these days, a course like that, if you shot 8 under, you'd win the tournament, because the course was hard and the equipment hadn't been revolutionized. The ball hadn't been revolutionized in terms of the technology. So Arnie shoots even part of the first day. We go on Friday, the second day. So I'm following the king. I watch him hit balls. I go to the first tee. Of course, there are massive galleries following Palmer. Palmer at the time is like 49 or 50. He hadn't won in 6 years. And he birdies the first hole, birdies the second hole, birdies the third hole, and on the fourth hole, he makes birdie again. He's 4 under after four. And I mean grown men. Well, first of all, there's a big leaderboard on the fourth green, and they put Palmer's name in second place behind the leader. And the crowd was roaring. There was a roar that was so loud, and you were right there, and it ran up your spine, your skin, and you could see Arnie, and he would hitch up his pants, and his neck was bulging, and he would stalk to the next tee. He was like a pirate boarding a ship. And grown men were running. Go get him, Arnie! Go get him, Arnie! Arnie! You know, just screaming. And there was this guy, and there were guys with suits running. And there's one guy with bib overalls and no shirt. And he says, go get him, Arn, get us another on the fifth hole, which is a par five, which he bogeyed. We're going, oh, he's going to birdie another one. Dude. But I swear to God, I've never seen grown men running like that. Running. Men in their 50s or whatever. And that was the most exciting thing. Of course, he ended up shooting even par again, blew it in the back nine. But, you know, that was exciting stuff. I mean, it was just, the earth shook. It was like thunderous applause. And I was right in the middle of it, running along with everybody else. I don't care. And I've been to some great events, sporting events, but that was probably the most thrilled I ever was. Because he was the king. He was the folk hero at the time. And I had a reverence for the game, so which my grandfather started and so forth. We all have these things in our lives. I tell you, the Big Ten tournament game a couple years ago, Dave, in Chicago, Michigan State, Wisconsin, that was right up there. That was right up there. The Badgers came from behind, 7 points down with like 3.5 to play and won in overtime. My daughter and I were there. That was a thrilling deal. Man, the next week they were so tired from that, they almost lost to Oregon, which is still playing. Sorry, I did a little nostalgic there. Nobody else cared, of course, but I'll check the live stream and see if we have anybody listening. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to do Trump the entire show. And we did land use. We did the fight over that. I mean, come on. Page one. It can't all be page one. Can it, people? Even though we had seven people like that segment. Well, maybe nobody did. I don't care. I did. Dave did, because it brought back memories of collecting home run balls in Wayland Avenue.
I'm going to see my doctor after the show.
you're gonna see a therapist. You thought you had expunged those memories from your mind. Hey, we're always a kid a little bit, aren't we? This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. We got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we've got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Mitch Hank Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hank.
Jack Brickhouse. That childhood announcer I would listen to. Do you have a little clip there, Dave? Or you know, Jack Brickhouse, the voice of the Cubs back in the day.
He was on the air. It's all over. Policeman just homered. The Cubs win the game.
Oh, yeah. It was Willie Smith hit the home run the opening day 1969, that was. But he would go back. Well, first of all, the field was so small, it was time for like one back, you know, but he would make it sound like the ball kept going. But when you first show up, it's like...
Remember how WGN used to do that? They'd put the Chiron on with the back. They'd just follow his call.
Back. You go, hey. And they would put the Chiron, hey, as they were going around the bases. Back. Of course, you know, when you finally go, it's the size of a shoebox. The field was so small. It was time for maybe one, maybe two backs. But Harry Carey would go, that's it, a long drive. It could be. It might be. It is a home run. Yeah, he would do that. So. Oh, we're having fun now, folks. For all you people that stayed, we thank you. Bob Keller, the Keller Real Estate Group, we thank him for the space. And the Keller Real Estate Group staff for the space here on West Wash. He's got a place for you to check out for renting questions. Tuscan Place, Washington Court, great apartments, 1, 2, 3 bedrooms, studio, you name it. High-speed internet, all the accommodations. But KellerApartments.com, that's KellerApartments.com. Coming up next, Bob Abella, the wide world of radio. Radio back into the classic days of the 30s and the 40s. Coming up next... We'll see you tomorrow. Dave McCann, thank you for filling in. Tomorrow's edition of the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.